This is the old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarva speaking. Remember, my mailing address, if you'll take it down now, I forget to give it to you at the end of the broadcast. It's the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. And remember, if you would, our email address, pastor@radiomissions.org, and then our website. If you go there, maybe you're listening for the first few times, go there on our website, radiomissions.org. It tells you what we most surely believe. It gives you the titles of many of the pastor's messages, the schedule for the radio broadcast, many, many items there. And then we have a little item there on the website, things most surely believed by us here at Radio Mission. And if you'd like to know more about it, you write me. I'll send you more information. We're just poor old simple country boy the Lord saved back there many years ago and brought me as a pastor of the church here at the First Baptist Church of Algiers, where Pastor Shelton was a pastor for many years, and then Brother Gale was a pastor. But I'm the pastor here now, and the Lord is blessing. Even though we suffered much from Katrina, the storm, the hurricane, and yet the Lord is allowing us to go on day by day. We're building a new chapel in Baton Rouge now, attempting to get started, and we're still broadcasting. Our broadcast still goes out just like they were before the storm. Everything is in place, and the Lord is supplying the need day by day. And many of our folks, many of you, call me and written me and praying for us and helping us financially and helping us spiritually, giving us strength to go on and encouraging us in the Lord. The old Trailblazers are awful weary and awful weak sometimes because of the burden that we find upon us. But we're looking at this study in Revelation, and we were looking at the signs that were seen in heaven there in our last study, and we'd come down to where, speaking of Satan, speaking of old Satan, our old adversary, yes, he knows that he is coming, the Lord is coming. He knows that he's soon to take over the kingdom and reign forever. Satan knows this. He knows that he's soon to be bound and cast into a bottomless pit. I mentioned in our last study, I believe he knows basically when the Lord will come. That's the reason he's stirred up so bad now. He knows that his kingdom is rapidly coming to an end. And folks call me and write me occasionally and say, Pastor, you believe all that stuff? Yes, sir, I sure do. I believe Satan is a literal individual. He's not a figment of your imagination. He's not something to make the kids go to bed at night. No, sir. He's a living personality. Where did Satan come from, you might ask? He was the anointed cherub in heaven. God created Satan. God created all of the angels. Satan was the anointed cherub. He led the worship of the angel. And when sin was found in him, what kind of sin did you say? He aspired to be like God. He aspired to be God, and he could not stay. Sin cannot reign and stay where God is. God cast him out of heaven and a third of his angels. And nowhere in God's word will you find that he lost one iota of his power. No, he was the most beautiful created being that ever was created. He's still that, my friend, but his influence is felt everywhere through his demon angels, those fallen angels. So he knows that his kingdom is rapidly coming to an end, and it stirs up all the wrath and vengeance that was ever locked within his breast. Now he cannot reach the man-child who is caught up into God and to his throne, and he takes it out upon the nation Israel, the remnant that is left, and then we who are God's chosen people. Oh, my friend, Brother Spurgeon met a friend of his one day on the street, and he said, "Say, friend, how's Satan? Is Satan giving you a lot of trouble?" He said, "No, I hadn't had any trouble with Satan in 40 years. Brother Spurgeon hung his head and walked on down the road. Oh, my friend, listen, Satan is our adversary. In the middle of this tribulation period which we've been studying, when we see these two signs appear in heaven and the remnant of the Jewish nation, they saw and read these signs, they understood what they meant. God was warning them of the wrath of Satan through the Antichrist, that he would kill them. And as he could not get to the man-child Christ Jesus, he will take it out upon the remnant of the Jews. So in this sixth verse it says, and the woman fled out of the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, and they should feed her there 3,200 and 3 score days, 3.5 years. Where this place is or where it will be is probably known only to God. But somehow God will take these Jews and deliver them out of the hands of the Antichrist, as he did out of the hands of Pharaoh, and hide them away somewhere in the wilderness, feeding them miraculously, no doubt on manna, as he had fed the children of Israel throughout their 40 years in the wilderness, wandering on their way from Egypt to the land of Canaan. Now let me just stop. Maybe you're not aware of what took place there in the wilderness. They wandered around for 40 years. But once they got across the Red Sea, they began to murmur, and they didn't have any water. So the Lord gave Moses instructions to strike the rock, and the rock gushed out water. Can you imagine how much water it took for 6 million Jews and all of their cattle and horses and all of those things? But they went on down the road later, and they said, "We don't have anything to eat. They don't have anything to eat." And look, Moses pled with the Lord, and the Lord sent the manna from heaven. Heavenly bread, angel food, whatever you call it. And he gave them instructions. Go out there every morning and pick up enough for that day. Don't pick up enough for tomorrow except the day before the Sabbath. And they 40 years. Now, folks think, oh, that just took place for a couple of 3 months, and then they began to raise something to eat. No, they never plowed a fur. They never raised a garden. They never did one thing. They never slaughtered a beef for food. They eat manna day after day. And then the quails came, and they had meat. But listen, did you ever think about their clothes didn't wear out? They didn't have a tailor shop down the road somewhere. Their overalls, if they wore overalls, whatever they wore, their shoes, the soles of their shoes never wore out. Think about the children was small, and they grew into manhood. Their shoes grew with them. Their clothes grew with them. They didn't. You say, well, that's absurd. You tell me then how they did it. God was in charge, my friend. I'm just fool enough to believe that God knows. Did you look back? I look back. I was just an old country bumpkin raised out here in the country on a strawberry patch, and the Lord took care of me. All of those days, he provided food and clothes and shoes for my dad and my mother. Worked hard, raised a farm and sold stuff and provided for us, just like the Lord did for those people. It's just the Lord did it. If my dad had been laid down flat of his back and my mother crippled and all, no, the government would have had to do it. But no, the Lord provided for me and for my brother and 2-3 sisters, just like he did for those folks. So we see how the Lord takes care of those things. Listen now. These will be awful days on the earth during the tribulation period, the darkest hour of this world's history, when Satan, through the Antichrist, will rule the world for those 3.5 years. The last 3, especially, of the tribulation period. You say, well, I don't believe all that. I won't have it. Well, go to hell for your trouble. You say, Trailblazer, you're just mean and cruel. Why should I take a back seat to somebody who argues with God's word? Why should I bite my tongue when some infidel out there, well, I won't believe God's word. I don't believe all that. Man, just like a dead dog when he dies. No, you'll see, my friend, that he's not like a dead dog. The scripture says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It talks of the eternal soul. It talks about hell being an eternal place where there's no bottom. Did you ever think about that? It will be falling. Oh, listen, I heard someone describe the entrance to hell. There's a shaft, he says, somewhere on this earth. We don't know where it is. Leading to that pit. And men, the scripture says, are driven there. And over the door of that shaft, I believe, this is my own personal feeling, that there'll be a neon sign there that says, no more hope. Could I just beg you? Could I just plead with you to listen? Think about your soul. Think about where you're going to spend eternity. All that you have, all that you can scrape up, all that you have, your 401ks, all of those things will be gone. They will be gone, my friend. The old country comic said, if you had anything in your pocket, your hand would be so stiff. Your arm would be so stiff you couldn't get it out. Did you know what you can take with you when you leave this world? All that you have given away. That's why I asked you folks, don't look down your nose at poor folks. Don't look down your nose at bums. Don't look down your nose at harlots and adulteresses and all of those people. Listen, they have a living soul just like you do. Say a kind word to them. Give them a cold drink of water. Oh, my friend, I rejoice that the church, or at least the believers, I call it, of this age of grace will not pass through that tribulation period. Now you throw up a red flag right there. Oh, we going through the revelation with the tribulation right now, old trail. No, we're not. No, we're not. I have folks to tell me that. I have good friends, just friendly people with me, pastors and preachers who believe in this millennial. They think the Lord has already come. No, not come. He hadn't come yet. He says when he comes, the trumpet will sound. You hadn't heard it, have you? You hadn't heard the trumpet sound, have you? No, I haven't either. And he says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those individuals, I look every time I go to a cemetery, especially those old cemeteries in New Orleans here, those old tombs, those old mausoleums, those things that are made out of bricks and stone and mortar and all that and whitewashed pretty regularly. Those things are going to crack open if there's a living soul, if there's an individual who knows the Lord in that thing, he's going to crack open. The top's going to fall off of it, and that soul will come forth. That's right. It's going to come forth. That haven't happened yet. And then you and I, who know the Lord, if you know the Lord, you tell me, oh, I'm so fearful, Pastor. I'm so afraid. Are you trusting the Lord? Are you clinging to the Lord? You may be full of doubts and fears and all of those things, but are you trusting the Lord? Are you trusting self? You trusting what you have in the bank? You trusting what you have in the saving? Are you trusting those things? You can't take it with you. I told a fellow one day, run a store up here close to me, and he worked his fingers to the bone and never went nowhere, never went out of the city or the parish or the state, never went anywhere. And I told him one day, I said, you know what? Your kids, before your dirt's spilling on your grave, they're going to be spending that money like it's going out of style. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I read these bumper stickers somewhere. It says, I'm spending my children's inheritance. That's what I think you ought to do. Oh, my friend, I do. People have asked me about savings account. I think you just need to pay up your funeral bill, that's all, and have enough to live on week to week, day by day. The Lord never intended to have all this bank accounts and all those things. But listen, folks, that's beside the point. We're not in the tribulation period now. If it was, the old trailblazer wouldn't be living. I'd done been killed. Often before now. But listen, I wish you'd think with me. Would you do that? It's hard sometimes to be true to the souls of men. Folks don't want to hear it. But Lord, give me grace day by day to keep going. Keep going on, bringing the gospel, singing the old gospel song, Christ died for me. I hold not the rock, but the rock holds me. And Precious Blood, we sang that song. We have several CD albums here by the choir. If you write me, I'll quote you a price. They're $5 a piece. Let me put it like that. About 16, 18 songs on each one of them, the old blood song. Can't get them in the store. You go in there, they have rock and roll, contemporary, all of those things, my friend, abomination unto God. But if you write me, send me $5, I'll send you a sample of one of our CDs. I think we've got 9 of them, and they'll bless your heart. Our radio choir singing, Precious Blood, How Great Thou Art, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It, all of those songs on there now. And you can't find them in a songbook anymore. But would you do that? And then pray for the old trailblazer. I'm weary at this time. My heart is heavy for many of you who are lost. My own family, my own children, my grandchildren, and my congregation scattered all over this country now. Some of them out of their homes. I pray for them daily. Would you do that? Would you pray for them? We have folks in the nursing home, in the sick beds. Never will come out. I asked you for them. Pray for them. And remember, would you help me with the broadcast? I don't hardly ever mention money here, but it takes money to keep these broadcasts going. Send me $1. We have a man up somewhere in Maryland sending me $2 a week. Every week he sends me $2. That's grace, isn't it? I appreciate it, too. And if you would, remember my mailing address, the old trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana 70174. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.